I think the Holy Spirit is taking care of that. Recently, this will sound like a horror story, but it's a true story. 2 to 3 weeks ago, there was a violent earthquake in Nepal. And within a space of a few days, another one struck again. This one happened during the day. People who were in houses actually came out of their houses to an open space because they thought that was safe. Some nations have sent troops and aid workers to Nepal, and the demand keeps on rising. Some people have set some charitable organizations to help the people in Nepal. But it's not about setting charitable organizations that I'm talking about here. I just want to remind you about the violent earthquake, what it can do. This earthquake in Nepal was so vicious that even Mount Everest was shaken. The mentioning of the wind blowing is just a reminder of how the apostles felt that day. The day we are celebrating the birth of church, there was that wind which shook the disciples. My theme this morning is church, ecclesia in Greek, is born. Amen. On that day, church, ecclesia is born. No wonder why you saw me with the children celebrating the birth of the church. So, there are four things I want you to notice this morning. On that very day, four things happened. Who can give a guess? One of them is church was born. What about the other one? Three more to go. Speaking in tongues, yes, Debbie? Baptism, great. Repentance comes with the baptism, yeah. But there's something else. Peter's first sermon, yes, but there's something that I want. Yes, it goes in line with what Peter has just said. Peter's sermon, what do you call that? That's the word I want. Gospel message, but there's a special word, Mike. No? Yay, that's the word. Thank you, Rose. So those four things happened on that day. One day. And also, within that evangelism, within that birth of church, within that coming of the Holy Spirit, unity was also amongst it. Yes? So church is born. Ecclesia is a Greek word, but the English word is church. Don't get me wrong, brothers and sisters. Church is not this building. What is church? Amen. We are church. Let's go back to the word ecclesia. What does it mean? I know I was not good at Greek at school. I quit the class of Greek. But only for this word and the other one coming, I will try to be a Greek man. Ecclesia means to be called out or to be called away. Okay? So I want to bring to you the scenario of Abraham. Abraham was called away from his people. You remember, he didn't go alone. He had other people who went with him. Right? They were forming ecclesia because they were worshiping God. If you listen to what God is telling you to do, you are worshiping God. Right? Abraham was told to leave his people and go to the country that God had appointed him. He was worshiping God. What about the children of Egypt? When they left Egypt, what did God say to Moses? He said, go and bring my people to this mountain. I want them to come and worship me here. Ecclesia is formed because it's a group of people that are leaving Egypt to come to this mountain to worship God. So from today onwards, don't just think church is the building. Oh, there is a Baptist church. That's a Baptist building which they call church, because there are people who are worshiping God in that building. Amen. So we are gathered here as church. So today we've just celebrated the birth of us in that time. I also want to bring back again another Greek word. Hey, today is a Greek lesson. You remember Jesus when he said to Peter, on this rock, I will build my church. In Greek, Peter is rock. Right? But so many preachers now, they are saying rock, it means something of strong foundation. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you go back to the Greek word, Peter, Jesus was referring to Peter as an individual, someone with a heart to worship God. Someone who believes in God will do good things that encourages others to say, that is the rock. So rock in Peter, it means someone with that heart. Today, I want you to remember these two Greek words, ecclesia and Peter, right? Ecclesia is church, a group of people worshiping God. And the rock is Peter. How strong are you when it comes to the things of God? How strong are you when you want to go out to evangelize? But someone might ask a question, why should we have church? Some people say, well, if I'm a believer, I can stay in my house and pray on my own and read my Bible. God is encouraging coming together as church, coming together as ecclesia, not staying in your house on your own. You are not church. You are one. Church is a group of people coming together to worship God. God. Right. As we go along, we'll find out that Paul also says in Ephesians, Christ is the head of the church. Right? Also, that text goes on to say, for the husband is the head of the wife. I know some people don't like that statement. Not in an abusive way, ladies and gentlemen, but the Bible says the husband is the head of the wife. As Christ is head of the church, his body of which he is Savior. We are that body, right? Christ is the head. Same applies in a marriage setup as well. The husband is the head. And they are in partnership. Yes. So, you are in partnership. It doesn't mean to say, because there are some who are fond of abusing their wives. I'm the head of the family. No. Do you know what happened on that day? Jesus, God, after created Adam, he saw that he was miserable on his own. So what did he do? He provided. I didn't hear that. Jania, louder. He is the head, but on his own is helpless. Ladies, smile when I'm saying that. He is the head, but without a helper, he's helpless. So God saw it fit. He needs a helper. Have you noticed household where there is no mother role, there's chaos? I think I once told you this. Some other time, Jania left my son and I in the house. I tell you, she came back after 2 days. There was chaos in the house. There was a line of plates coming from all rooms. There were breadcrumbs everywhere, and we're not cooking, my son and I. We're living on bread. But when the mother of the house came, we had a hot meal. So you see, God is a gracious God by giving us wives. Without them, this world could be chaotic. Some of you who have lived in this country for a long time, I think you remember the days of Margaret Thatcher. Some say it was lovely. Yeah, no? All right. Well, we're not going that line. Okay. Anyway, right. Let's go back to the word ecclesia. Who is us? You know, our purpose is to feed other people with the word of God. Yes? When people come here, they must know this God whom we worship. Why are we always smiling when things are not rosy? Because we have the Holy Spirit in us. On that day, on Pentecost, Christ had promised that I'm going to the Father and I'll ask him to send a comforter. And when the comforter came, he actually sat on those people in that upper room like a flame of fire on them. And Jesus also says, if you don't have the comforter in you, ask the Lord. He will give him to you. This is why we are always smiling. Because we've got a comforter in us. But there's also another thing that we need to let other people know why we need to feed them with the word of God. Have you heard the disease called kwashioka? You don't know what's kwashioka? No, it's not foreign. Actually, go in the dictionary, you'll find it. Kwashioka, spelled K-W-A-S-H-I-O-R-K-O-R. It's actually a deficiency disease. Right? No, it's called kwashioka. Yeah. So if there is a deficiency in your body, you become so thin, all the head becomes so big that even the body cannot sustain it. You're so thin. This is exactly what happens to people if they are not fed or with the word of God. They develop a disease called kwashioka because they're not being fed. There is a deficiency in their body. So ecclesia, we need to feed people with the word of God. This is why we are here. We are made to be a community because of Pentecost. We've heard there were about 120 men in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came. They were together in one room speaking with one voice. So community is very important. Loneliness kills. I was checking on the internet the other time and it was said to discover that loneliness is the most killer in the world today. People are so lonely. So community is very important. We've learned on Pentecost Day, community was built. So we need to carry on building that community. Right. I mentioned to you that Christ is the head of the body, which is the ecclesia. Have you noticed that medical experts, what they have done these days is, if you lose a hand, they make a prosthetic, right? Either a leg or a hand. They can do. So I want to tell you this story of a young man. In my culture, when you go to a funeral, right, you actually shake people's hands, right? So this young man got there with his prosthetic arm. So there was quite a long queue of people. So he thought, well, by the time I get there, I'll be tired. You know what he did? He just took it off. He said, guys, pass it on. I'll wait the other. But right, my point I want to bring to you is, you can do that with other limbs. Can you do that with the head? The medical experts have failed to provide a secondary head. If your head is damaged, that's it. That's the end of the story. So we all need Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the head of this body, ecclesia. If he's not there, you are dead. If it was the hand, we can have an improvisation, but not on this one. So on that night, on that day of Pentecost, evangelism was born. You agree with me? Peter, we heard all that. He stood up and started preaching. I want to repeat that verse again, whereby people were saying, this Lord is drunk. Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. Ecclesia, I think sometime in our lives, we need to behave like people who are drunk so that we get noticed. Amen? Right now, the church, ecclesia, has gone dormant. They've gone dead, even in what they do, because they just think things are normal as they are. No. It's high time now we behave like people who have had too much wine for the church to be noticed in community. It's high time now that we should behave like people who have too much wine for people to see that we are praying for them. It's high time now that we should behave like people who have had too much wine for the activities we are doing for our community. We will be noticed because there will be extra in what you are doing. Because someone who is drunk behave awkwardly. You agree with me? Some of them will be walking in a staggering way because the brain is now confused. There's too much wine. There's too much drink in their mind. So if we also do that as church, we will be noticed one time. Yes? I just want to bring this to you. Because of what happened at Holy Spirit, at Pentecost, we are to be those evangelists with a punch. Some might say, well, it's only about preachers who should preach. No. Your behavior is preaching. Did you know that? Your neighbors, when they point at you, who do they say you are? Some neighbors say, oh, well, they call themselves Christians, but do you see how he behaves? If you didn't know, you are evangelizing. It's not about talking. It's about how you live. This is how you evangelize. Some, yes, I have got a gift of speaking. Some have got a gift of smiling. Some have got a gift of sending just birthday cards. It's your gift. Use it. And some have got a gift of cutting the lawn around the house of God. Keep on doing it. We're actually looking for more people to come and do it. Do you know that if you don't use your gift that God gave you, when you get to glory, that will be the first question you will be asked. I gave you this gift for my people. What did you do? You sat on it. Oh, mate, this guy is waiting for you. They go that side. I'm not to frighten you. But I'm only saying, if you've got a gift that God has given you, use it. Peter stood up on that day and said, no, these guys are not drunk. God has promised His Spirit on young men and old men. They will have visions and have dreams. So he was trying to explain. I'm also trying to explain this morning that, ladies and gentlemen, we need to behave like drunk people for the glory of God. Why is church considered to be dying? Because we've gone to sleep. We need to wake up. And church will be seen to be doing something. Because on that day, evangelism was born. So do we want evangelism to go to sleep? No. It must be revived. It needs a punch, an oomph, so that church will be known. We will be obeying Christ. Because Christ said in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 19, right? He commissioned the work of the disciples. Go in the world and teach them what I have taught you. Baptize them in the name of the Father. This is why we should do church. We are following what Christ said. We are following that commission that was commissioned by Christ. So when people have been evangelized, what will happen? They will accept Christ. Is that so? So what follows after evangelizing? Someone has been preached to. What follows? I'm only elaborating what happened on that Pentecost day. They were evangelized, and then what happened? Hallelujah. That's the word. Baptism followed. So today, I'm only going to talk a little bit about baptism. I want to prepare a sermon for baptism alone. But today, I'm only talking about it because it happened on that day. When that mob was around Peter preaching, they were impressed with what they heard. They asked Peter, what then should we do? Remember that Peter whom Christ once said, no more of this. Or, you are the rock, on you I will build my church. He stood up again and said to them, listen to this, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus. Full stop. This was a straightforward answer that Peter gave on that day. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins. When one becomes an evangelist, we speak the utterances of God. Amen? Because Christ is the one who said, go and tell others about what I have done. 1 Peter 4:11 says this, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. if anyone saves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ, to whom the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So when we speak about the gospel, this is not our word, it's God's word. When we speak about baptism, it's not our word, it's Christ's word. He said, go and preach and tell them about what I have done. After that, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those are the words of Jesus. They are not mine. As we carry on again, please don't get me wrong. These are not my words. We are only doing what we were told to do. Then when we find Peter in Acts 2, verse 38, when he says, repent and baptize every one of you. We also go to Mark chapter 16. The same instruction again is mentioned about baptizing people. Wow. So it's an instruction which must be followed. I want you to notice something here. Evangelism and baptism, they must work hand in hand. When someone has been evangelized, he has repented. What follows? Baptism. You cannot be accepting Christ and say, well, I've accepted Christ, but the other side, no, it's not for me. According to what I've read here, none of them work individually. They work together. And also Jesus in the book of John 3, verse 5. If you've got a Bible near you, let's go to John 3, verse 5 and hear what Jesus said when he was speaking to Nicodemus. It is a good instruction that Jesus said. That's why I said one of these days I want to bring a sermon on baptism only. But today I'm only bringing it because it was there on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people were baptized in one go. Are we there yet? Yes? What does verse 5 say? Someone may read that verse to me. Amen. So the being born of water and spirit, which Jesus mentioned here, happened on that day of Pentecost when 3,000 people were baptized. Through the violent wind, the church ecclesia evangelizes, and the biggest crowd ever to be mentioned in scripture is baptized. I think they were having aching muscles on that day. And the Bible doesn't tell us who was baptized, whether it's Peter and other disciples. But imagine 3,000 people coming in our building that we call church. Mr. Treasurer, the electric bill will be shocking. Because baptizing 3,000 people here, I tell you, that's a lot of work. But besides that baptism, there is something that I want you to notice. Unity was born on that day. Today, in the developed countries, people are talking of space. One person per house or two. But in the undeveloped world, they live in groups in one house. Because community is more important. And unity is more important. The unity that was born on Pentecost Day, we must cherish it. Because 120 men were in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came and sat on each individual on that day. 120. We don't hear of space here. We hear of unity. We hear of that togetherness. They were speaking with one voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, this day the church was born on Pentecost. This day of Pentecost, unity was brought to us. This day of Pentecost, evangelism and the biggest baptism occurred. As we celebrate the birth of our church, we should remember it was a promise of Jesus Christ that I'm going to the Father. I will ask him to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And he did exactly what he had promised. So the gift that Jesus promised in John 14 verse 26 has been fulfilled at Pentecost. he instructed his disciples to wait for that gift. Are you still waiting for that gift? If you haven't received it, ask the God who is gracious and he will give it to you. The purpose of Pentecost has been fulfilled. The promised Holy Spirit has come. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for the Holy Spirit. We are praying right now, if there is something that is lying dormant in our lives, let the Holy Spirit shake us like on that day of Pentecost. What is that in our lives that needs shaking? Father, let the Holy Spirit come and shake. Is it our worship which has gone dormant? Is it our relationship with others which has gone dormant? Bring the Holy Spirit to shake us. Is it how we live with our neighbors that our neighbors are talking about, in good or in bad? If it's in bad, Father, send the Holy Spirit to shake us so that we live like those neighbors who are liked in community. Oh, Father, we can go on and on and on. But we are delighted. You said, if you want the Holy Spirit to come in you, ask, and the Father will give you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for keeping your promise. May you take our request to your Father right now. For our friends who don't have the Holy Spirit, for our friends who don't know of what you have done, let the light shine on them and they will know who the Lord Jesus is. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Take our prayers to your Father. Amen.